And hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Dakota Cast podcast. I'm Nate Weck here with South Dakota Public Broadcasting. A couple things that we're going to go over this week. First, we're going to start with the University of South Dakota Coyote football team. Last weekend, they went up to North Dakota State to take on the NDSU Bison, four-time defending FCS champs. And not only did they win, but they won on a last-second field goal, really took all the wind out of the Bison sails, winning this game 24-21, truly a remarkable game, arguably the biggest win in program history for that Coyote football team. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ullenbolt had a chance to sit down and talk with Joe Glenn, and here's that conversation.
First of all, you know, anyone who follows FCS football, other than some guys in white jerseys and red helmets, probably didn't think the Coyotes had much of a shot at North Dakota State. And you look at the track record with no wins in Fargo since 1978, never winning in the Fargo Dome. How in the world did you get that pulled off on Saturday?
Well, it just by a bunch of tough, gritty football players and some great young coaches and just a fabulous come together of offense, defense, and special teams. We went and put together a real solid game as well as a game plan, and the kids worked it to perfection. There was plenty of leadership on the field, plenty of leadership coming from the coaching staff. Just they put it all together as a group, and as a head coach, you couldn't be more proud.
And one of the things that you had mentioned on Saturday in your postgame press conference, it was not a cheap win because North Dakota State, as the Bison tend to do, they didn't hand you anything.
Yeah, they got smacked. I mean, five times in the second half, our defense turkeyed them, which is three and out, and that's getting smacked. And that's what our guys did to them. And we held up in the passing game. I think we had six knockdowns of, I think any one of those passes would have been a touchdown had we not knocked them down, didn't let them go over our head. And it just was a brilliant effort. I really, I don't mean to be too colorful, but you had to play a really great game to beat them, and we did.
Now, if this is between you and the team and you want to keep it that way, you're certainly welcome to do so, Coach. But can I ask what you said to them before the game, before they went out?
Well, We wanted to remember, you know, that what a great game this that we're playing, not just at Fargo, but just to be a part of the university and a part of this great game of football. And we know it can be fleeting. And we dedicated the game to Sam McLaren, who was hurt a week earlier. And so it kind of just, we wanted to be in the here and now. Let's go to work and let us focus best we can on our job. Everybody do your part, and let's play the best we can on offense, on defense, and special teams, and get them all you got, and coaches, coach your best. You're prepared. We were ready, and we took the field, and we couldn't find a rhythm right at first. But once we got into the, as I liken it to a boxing match, once we found our rhythm a little bit, we started trading punches with them, and we knew we belonged. And from that point on, they just kept fighting, and were able to squeak one out, and what a gutty effort.
I think one of the statistics that I find most telling in a football game is third down conversions, and you guys had that in spades Saturday.
Yeah. It just, again, the kids got to execute it, but I thought Wesley Bisharner made some great calls. I mean, third and five, we run quarterback power, which we had success running the quarterback on power play, which is normally carried by the tailback. But it gave us an extra blocker, and you don't want to run your quarterback 30 times, that's for sure. But, you go run an off-tackle play at third and five, it kind of caught him off guard, I think. And I think maybe our two coordinators had him off guard a little bit. Most of second half for sure, and possibly in most of second quarter too. So, which is their big quarter. They were, and you know, another thing you got to credit the kids with, they're getting off the field and hanging on to the ball. We beat them at their own game of ball possession. We had the ball for 10 seconds more than they did.
You know, that works. And as long as you have that in the final score, I mean, you got to feel good about that coming home, certainly.
Yeah. Oh, the buses were, everybody singing, everybody laughing, music at 25, you know, it was about 5 hours of fun and music. It was a great ride home.
Tell me a little bit about that final drive that set up the field goal. You had a pretty fair piece to get into Bergner's range, but you're able to get it done. So what were some of the bullet points of that?
Well, you know, you have a game plan. And I go back to saying Wesley executed it to perfection. We had some plays where we're going to run a zone read, but if the wideout is open for the hitch route, we hit that a couple times to Eric Shuford. Then a quarterback run and another quarterback run. And then Trevor Bauman went for 14 yards, and that was shortly before he broke his arm in the last drive. Then Mike Frederick came in, and he had 5 yards, and we took a timeout. And then Sager took it for 5 yards, and we're running the clock down. 26 seconds, Mike Frederick for one, and we had a plan now to call timeout inside of 5 seconds. We didn't want to give him a chance, and Miles Bergner came in and knocked it in from 33 yards, and he hit it right down the middle, and I was so glad that he did. He had missed one earlier, and I knew he wanted to redeem himself.
Any doubt in your mind that Bergner was going to hit that game-winning field goal?
No doubt in my mind. Not at all. I coach Miles. I don't coach him. I chart him. We go out 15 minutes before practice with my holder and my snapper, and I'm not a soccer-style kicker, but I know this. I chart them. I get all three guys there that need to be there, and we get as many kicks in as we can in 15 minutes. And usually when the head coach has his way, all three of those guys are always there. They're ready to go. It's like shooting free throws to me. If you shoot 100 free throws, you're going to get better. And so we get a lot of kicks in, and I've seen Miles make those over and over and over, and he was in a little bit of a struggle up until that time, but I knew deep in my heart he was going to make that.
Obviously, it has been a rough couple of years for the Coyote football program. What does a win like this do for momentum to the rest of the season from Missouri State this weekend on through the rest of the year?
Yeah, we got the springboard or slingshot or catapult forward from this, but we have played some pretty good football this year, better than any time I've been here. We're getting better. And but we just weren't putting total games together. We did against Drake. We did against Cal Davis. But we hadn't put a whole game against Youngstown or Western Illinois, who are both good football teams. But our offense didn't show up against Youngstown. Our defense didn't show up against Western. And we brought it all together against North Dakota State. And that's what we can do. Now, going forward, we can't look in the rearview mirror and pat ourselves on the back. But here's what, we don't control what Missouri State does. We don't control what North Dakota State does. We do control what we do, and that's what we do. We focus on the Coyotes. We focus on the here and now, how we can get better and be ready for our next game, and can't really worry about Missouri State, what they're going to do to us. It's what we can do to them.
That was Joe Glenn of the USD Coyote football team sitting down with SDPB's Gary Ellenbolt. We always appreciate the time that Joe Glenn takes for his interviews. Very well-respected person in the Vermilion, South Dakota area. Again, USD will host Missouri State this week, and we'll see if they can't get another conference win, which would get their conference record to 2-2, and that would be absolutely huge for this USD football team. Going to switch gears over to the cheer and dance competition, which is taking place in Brandon Valley at the Brandon Valley High School Gymnasium. Randy Marso is the activities director of Brandon Valley, and I had a chance to sit down and talk with him a little earlier today and just talk a little bit about what it means to Brandon Valley to have this cheer and dance competition, and just kind of talk a little bit about the overall status of the Brandon Valley High School Athletics and Fine Arts departments. Here, take a listen. All right, I'm joined right now with Randy Marso, the activities director here at Brandon Valley High School. Randy, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Once you get everybody started at about 5:15, then I can sit back and take a deep breath.
So obviously a busy couple days here for you guys here at Brandon Valley with the state cheer and dance competition going on. How much preparation goes into an event like this? When did you guys start looking at this and thinking, here's the vision that we have for this thing when it comes around in October?
Really, probably right at the start of the school year, I talked with all my coaches, our entire staff, when we host a state event, is expected to work. And so they're on shift tonight and tomorrow, doing everything from manning the cheer practice room, the dance practice room, the commons and hallways, the team entrance, the hospitality room, cheer and dance timers, door monitors so people aren't going in while performances are going on. And those coaches all work for that, and because we want to put on a special event. And when you get coaches from other sports doing that, first of all, they're supporting our cheerleaders and dancers at Brandon Valley, but they're also people who know what activities mean, and they like to put our best face forward on that, and they do a great job. But really in August, and then, you know, in earnest a couple of weeks ago, really putting final plans together, and the last couple of days with the logistics of getting public broadcasting in here and running their cables and getting the cheer floor down and dance floor taped and just signage and the commons laid out for the vendors and for concessions and all of those kinds of things. It's been a couple of days of physical labor. But like I said, once you get to 5:10 and the lights come on and the announcer takes over, then you get to sit back, everybody's in place, and things just happen.
So during the event, you kind of just walking around monitoring all the different little things that are going on and answering odd questions here and there. And did you get a chance to actually get in and see any of the performances, or are you kind of limited to making sure that everybody stays on task?
Tomorrow, I'll watch when Brandon Valley performs. I'll probably watch a couple others, but really it's troubleshooting. We're blowing circuits of the concession stand, so you're doing that and making sure that the change is okay at the program sales and the ticket booths, and just making sure everybody's in place and putting out little fires. Nothing major, because our people do a nice job of handling things, but just making sure that everything's running smoothly. But I do get to get in there, and certainly tomorrow I'll see Brandon Valley. Tonight I've seen a couple of performances just, in moving around, but not as much as you would like.
Obviously, there's a lot of people here tonight. There's going to be more here tomorrow on Saturday. Two-day event. How big of an event is this to get for not just Brandon Valley, but for the city of Brandon?
It's huge. It's huge. You know, as a school district, we're doing our part to host an event. We have a great facility, I believe. Great parking. You know, we can handle all of that for our town and the surrounding communities. It's a big deal. You know, the convenience stores, the Subways, the pizza ranches, those people know when we have these events. First National Bank called over and said, no, we're having an event, what kind of ticket prices and those kinds of things. And they said they order extra cash and put it in their vault, change not only for us, but for the businesses around, because this is a big deal when people are stopping in and out of town, and, you know, people are staying at hotels and judges and all of those kinds of people. So it's a big deal for us. And just as a school district, we love hosting this. Again, it puts our best face forward, and we think we do a nice job hosting these kinds of things.
Seems like every year Brandon Valley in general just continues to be growing athletically and in fine arts. Talk a little bit about the growth specifically of Brandon Valley.
Yeah, we do continue to grow. Literally, and I think we gained 130 kids district-wide this year, which is a big jump from last year, and we see that continuing. We're on that upswing again, not quite as out of control as Harrisburg, but it's a good situation. We're growing. That brings in more money. So all of that, I think that has translated into just more kids in athletics, more kids in the fine arts, and we really pride ourselves in moving forward and doing things right the first time, building a performing arts center. We're doing improvements to our high school right now, to our office space, safe entrances. We're doing some additions and improvements at our stadium that'll happen here as soon as our football team is done this fall. So just when we improve facilities, we give kids facilities, we give kids great coaches and people who care about them. They want to be part of those programs, and I think that shows in what we put out there with athletic teams, with whether it's music or drama or whatever, or speech, whatever it is. We just continue to do things and do them well.
Is that challenging for you on an annual basis? Do you have to, you know, look back and say, okay, we're growing this year. We've got to make sure that we, you know, step up in these areas. And are you constantly growing as a staff, too, to accommodate for the growth of all your programs as well? And does that present a challenge to you kind of being the overseer of all of this?
It does. We try to add, again, we try to manage that growth a little bit, but we've added coaches as we need to, adding levels, adding sports. You know, we're the only high school in South Dakota that offers softball. It's a school-sponsored sport. We hire the coaches. We do everything just like any other sport. They play in a club tournament and club league with other schools in South Dakota. But you know, it's those kinds of things we do, and you have to manage those, and that's things that other schools and other people in my position don't have to handle. But it's an opportunity for our kids. We have to work a little extra. You know, we work a little harder. But if it gives our kids a great opportunity and they have a chance to compete and compete for championships and go on to the next level and those kinds of things, it's all worth it.
Well, Randy, thanks for taking some time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Of course. The cheer and dance competition is going to also be taking place again tomorrow at Brandon Valley in the gymnasium with the Class AA. You can watch live coverage on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, the number 2 channel, or you can also watch online sdpb.org/cheer-dance. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Dakota Cast podcast. Again, I am Nate Weck, and I appreciate you all for joining me once again. Next week, we're going to sit down and talk with Jeremy Houck of the Press and Dakotan and chat some USD football with him, talk a little bit more in depth about what that win over North Dakota State meant. And then I'm going to talk some South Dakota State football with Jeff Harkness of ESPN Radio in Sioux Falls. That'll be a good conversation, and we'll just go in-depth when we talk about the Missouri Valley and what the playoff picture could mean for both the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. And, hey, does the University of South Dakota have a chance? We're going to soon find out, see if that win over North Dakota State propels them in the momentum column and see if it carries over to the win column. You can also connect with South Dakota Public Broadcasting in social media. You can like us on Facebook, and you can also follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter accounts are at SODACPB for our organizational account. You can follow us for all the news information you're going to need at SDPB News. And you can also follow us for sports at SDPB Sports. I'll be back again next Friday for another edition of the Dakota Cast podcast. I'm Nate Weck for South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and have a great day.